It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Jay Gruden is going to be with us in a little over 30 minutes. We will get his thoughts on the Terry McLaurin contract extension and some of the differences between our quarterback now entering year number two and a guy that Jay Gruden coached when he was entering the later, not year number two, because that was still Shanahan, but you know, the differences between Jaden and one Robert Griffin. First, though, a little bit of housekeeping. I am sitting in, obviously, for Kevin today. I was asking the boys behind the glass. Sheehan does not acknowledge the chat, does he? We are on YouTube. If you do not know, you can watch us on YouTube. You can see my beautiful face. There was a lot of effort into setting this up today, so everybody go watch on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up. But you can also interact with us in the chat. I am going to... Kevin doesn't acknowledge the chat, does he?
I don't think he has any idea that it's even there.
Okay, I think we should start a new drinking game. That you need take a shot every time that Kevin acknowledges the chat moving forward.
Oh, yeah, that would
you
be
will
the
be
most...
stone cold sober for a majority of this game. But eventually, the day that he does take recognize the chat, it'll be a party behind the glass.
It will, because... I think when I get back from vacation, I'm going to try and see if we can get it working in before the season goes, kind of get him used to it. But
to be like, hey, you know, there's a thing on the side of this television situation that we got going on here where you can interact with the people.
Hey, you know, people are, instead of trying to call you, they're just trying to write you a message, not on Twitter, but
yeah, just nice and real quick. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, so that's a new Kevin Sheehan drinking game. Take a shot every time that he acknowledges the chat. So this has been a very interesting week. Generally speaking, it is a very slow time in sports. We don't have any football. We don't have any baseball. We don't have any NBA unless you just love Summer League, which some people do. I am not religiously watching Summer League. Terry McLaurin blessed us, albeit a little bit of a blunder. Terry blessed us with a little bit of stories, shall we say. This whole media game that McLaurin has been playing, I understand what the attempt was. It was very, very clear they wanted to leverage the public in their favor, and they wanted to make things... It almost feels like blow things a little bit out of proportion here. And this goes way back to before this week. The thing that took place, the presser that was like 35 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was, at a car dealership, that was a jumbled mess to me. And honestly, Terry McLaurin is a little bit better than this. So I was a little bit disappointed. But this goes, I tracked this yesterday, Max, just because I wanted to acknowledge what this media game was. And it was really in part, not for something that Terry did this week, but it was because more of what Ian Rappaport reported after what Terry did. Rappaport got on NFL Network and said that Terry McLaurin is asking for $30 million. And my question was, as soon as I saw this video and read this, the post that accompanied it on social media, where was this reporting before? If he's asking for $30 million, and specifically if you are Ian Rappaport, if you knew that information, wouldn't you have reported this before? The answer is yes, because if you are a reporter, as soon as you get that information, you will then give that information. So he was not sitting on this information. He must have been given this information after the debacle that was the Eastern Motors press conference. This goes all the way back to pre-minicamp, when you first got the tweet from Jordan Schultz that was then picked up by Adam Schefter that Terry McLaurin was feeling a little bit frustrated, and they don't know if he is going to attend mandatory minicamp. A couple days go by, it's very clear there is no 17 there. Terry McLaurin does not attend mandatory minicamp, and we know that he's frustrated because in the initial tweet all the way back in late May, it said that Terry McLaurin is frustrated with the lack of progress in a contract extension. We go an entire month with next to nothing, and then he holds this press conference at Eastern Motors where he expresses frustration. He expresses that he wants to be paid at a fair value, all things that are legitimate, by the way. Like, that was one of the things where I actually appreciated from Terry McLaurin. He did not make any comment that I felt like was out of pocket. he did not make any comment that I felt like was illegitimate. Everything that he said, he was valid in saying, but the process in which they went to kind of make this a bigger thing than it was really put him in a tough spot. The presser went like 25 minutes too long. I mean, after 10 minutes, he was basically done with everything that he needed to say.
Yeah, I mean, it started at, what, I think it was 12:45. It was when I heard him start speaking. I got in Kevin's ear and was like, yo, we got to throw to this. So he threw to it, and then, because, you know, you did this show, it ends at 1.
Of course.
And we kept, yeah, so of course, it 1 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, oh, we can't end the show here. Chris Russell agreed. AMAC, we all kind of came to a consensus that we need to keep running this. And at about 1:10, I looked at everyone and was like, we can cut away from this. And the second they brought up Italy was when Kevin and I jumped in. We're like, all right, that's enough. We're good.
I turned it off before they brought up Italy. After the first 15 minutes, I was like, I don't need to listen to this anymore. There's no question that is going to be asked that will garner a better response than what we have already gotten.
Right.
Here is the thing, though, and maybe we have this audio. Do you have the audio of Terry acknowledging that it's been a month between conversations?
I don't have the first time he said it, but I do have that first answer from the press conference where he says, like I said, it's been a month. The active discussions need to be had.
So, give me that one, please, if you don't mind.
Well, I think, you know, there has to be some active discussions, you know what I mean? Like I said, we haven't talked in over a month, and obviously with camp around the corner, like, it's becoming a little bit of crunch time. And, you know, obviously you want to be in a position where you're building to what we did last year, and Jaden and I continue to build along with the offense. And that was the thing, like, before I took a step back, it was things were going great on the field, and you know, the connection and the offense and the energy was just amazing. And so to see where it was then and where it's at now is definitely disappointing. So I don't necessarily know what happens next, but without any progressive discussions, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field. So you know, I'm just trying to take it day by day, honestly, and I know the value that I bring. And again, I understand that there's a whole business and things like that, but I know that I'm going to continue to play at a high level. The Lord has blessed me to stay healthy up until this point. I haven't missed a game in 5 years. You know, I haven't missed practices. I block. I play full game. You know what I mean? And so I take extreme care of my body. Anybody in that building knows that whether it's rehab, off the field, I invest a lot of time and money into my body. And I'm going to continue to do that so I could be the best that I can when I step on the football field. So I can't really speculate what happens next. Again, I just got to take things day by day, stay in contact with my agent, and hopefully that we can have some sort of talks that are progressive. But if not, then you have to take steps from there.
So there's a couple different things that I would like to point out there that I think have either been misconstrued and taken to a direction where I don't think they should be, or things that just kind of feel like a flat-out miss. So first and foremost, he mentioned that things were in a good spot and then he left. He didn't have to leave. Like, he could have gone to minicamp. He could have stayed. All of those things are true. He does have a contract at the moment. He just wants a better contract. I can't blame him. I want Terry McLaurin to have a better contract. But the idea that he was forced to leave is a swing and a miss, because he was not forced to leave. He could have been there. He decided against it. But again, that is the business of football. So I understand his mentality there. The part about not having conversations for the last month, on the surface, sounds awful. In reality, it is not nearly as bad as it seems. And in fact, I would much rather them not be having conversations for a month with no deal than having active conversations for a month and still no deal. Because at the very least, once those conversations, there is still the hope that once the conversations eventually do start again, that this will be a very quick process. They will get right to it. And once they're talking, they will sign Terry McLaurin. It's crunch time. Training camp is here. Let's make everybody happy. We want you here. You want to be here. Everything will be fine. That is much, much better than him and the team talking, shall I say, having conversations for a month and still being far apart. it's way more damning to be talking and not agreeing than not talking and not agreeing, because you allow yourself that buffer to start talking and then things to start moving in a positive direction. I want Terry McLaurin to be at training camp, no matter the contract. I don't care what his contract is. I want Terry McLaurin to be in training camp. I want him to hold in. Even if he's not participating, even if he's not putting on the pads, I still want him there. You have the ability to be around the team because, again, you have a contract. You want a new contract. That is fair. I like that. But I want you to be there so you can still be around your guys, be around your teammates, be around your coaches. I'm not worried that Terry McLaurin is going to request a trade. That has not even crossed my mind at this point. If he really wanted to, he could have. Like this Eastern Motives event, if you will, which again, it's not even an event. This was a calculated decision by the Terry McLaurin PR team, agent, publicist, whoever it was that put this together. This was a calculated decision. You'll find this crazy. Max, you know this, but for those that don't, our media does not live at Eastern Motives. Like they're just not there all the time. They were told that Terry's going to be there. It's not like teachers when you were in kindergarten where you thought they lived at school. The media does not live at Eastern Motors.
I thought Jeff Walker, like...
Jeff Walker might live at Eastern Motors, but like J.P. Finley does not live at Eastern Motors. He has an actual house. You know, Ben Standing, Nikki Javala, Scott Abraham, like all these people have actual homes that they go to. They don't just live at Eastern Motors.
I don't know, man. Nikki seemed pretty comfortable using that place as her office. I saw the picture.
That's a journalist. Though.
That's right.
That is legitimate Big J journalist. We have some stuff that we're going to talk about in our third hour that is not Big J journalism.
Beautiful.
But sitting on the floor at Eastern Motors to type up a story is Big J journalism.
It is.
That was a calculated decision that was made by the McLaurin camp. Now, I do want to play something from one of his teammates, because in that cut that we just played from Terry, he mentioned that his teammates are a little bit confused over the course of the 35-minute press conference. He mentioned that his teammates have his back, which is good. It's very, very good. This will echo this. This is Zach Ertz on Up and Adams with Kay Adams yesterday talking about the Terry McLaurin contract extension.
I would like for you to now make me feel better about Terry McLaurin. Can you make me feel better about Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, I mean, I think Terry is a guy. I'm not going to sit over there. I don't know the business of what's going on. I'm not privy to the conversations. But what is it? July 16th? The first game is September 7th. There's a lot of time between now and then to get something done. But at the end of the day, I mean, everyone knows Terry's working his butt off, whether he's in the building or not in the building. And so for me as a player that's gone through contract situations, public contract situations, I appreciated that my teammates weren't out there giving their opinions and everything like that. So I'm not going to come out here and say one thing or the other. But what I do know is Terry is going to do everything he can to be at his best when his best is needed. And fortunately, his best is not needed tomorrow or early next week. It's needed towards the end of training camp, week one. So for me, I'm rooting for Terry. I hope he gets paid as much as he wants to get paid. But in terms of the business side of it, I'm going to stay far away from that.
Well said. I mean, you've already made your feelings on him known that he's like the best.
Yeah.
Heart and soul. Yeah, I mean, we all know that.
In terms of like number one receivers, there's two guys, AJ Green, which I saw at the end of his career, Terry McLaurin, are the two guys that literally, if they had 150 yards or 20 yards, you couldn't tell the difference in their demeanor. And I think that speaks volumes about the type of people they are, the type of how they work. Dudes that just want to be great teammates and give everything they can for their guys. Those two I hold in especially high regard.
That's Zach Ertz talking about Terry McLaurin with Kay Adams on her show Up and Adams. The comparison to that of Terry and AJ Green is one that I hold in high regard. I loved AJ Green. People sleep on AJ Green. AJ Green, when he was in his prime, was silly. He was not in his prime in Arizona when Zach Ertz played with him, but in Cincinnati, when he was playing with a red rifle, Andy Dalton, AJ Green was a tough wide receiver to match up against. But you understood the context, or at least the stance that Zach Ertz was taking, and this is a guy that's been in the league for a long, long time. It's July. Like, this is not when you absolutely need Terry McLaurin. You want Terry McLaurin to be signed, but you don't need him to be signed in July. You want him to be signed, or at least this point of July. You want him to be signed at the end of July and into August, when you can start to build into some of the things that you were doing last season and get and make sure that he is in football shape. I definitely want him in training camp by the end of it. If he misses the first day, my panic meter might move a little bit. Right now, by the way, I'm sitting at a 4. I was sitting at a 4 before the Eastern Motors press conference. I'm sitting at a 4 after the Eastern Motors press conference because, again, he didn't sit there and ask for a trade. He very easily could be pulling a Brandon Ayuk right now. Remember last year when Brandon Ayuk went on a massive media tour where he was asking for a trade but was also too scared to ask for a trade?
Yeah, he went on the pivot, and then he posted pictures with Jaden and
yeah, he kind of used our quarterback as a little bit of a side chick, which did not like that one bit. But he was doing all these media appearances. He was liking pictures of himself in different renderings of Pittsburgh colors, Washington colors. There might have been a Baltimore colorway in there. Like he was being messy. He was being messy on social media. And the only thing that Terry McLaurin has posted on social media is like his trip to Italy and like going back to Ohio State. All pretty normal things that you would post if you were a wide receiver that recently got married and also played at Ohio State, right? Like there's been nothing out of the ordinary. He's not retweeting Dove Kleinman when Dove Kleinman puts a rendering of him in a Chargers uniform. He's not retweeting any other of these nonsensical aggregator accounts. He said he wants to be here. If he wanted to make a trade and make it public, he would have done it at Eastern Motors. Also, he probably wouldn't have done an Eastern Motors ad if he didn't want to be here. I think Terry has been here long enough to realize the level of the specialness that is Eastern Motors. Like, you don't understand that if you're not from here. Mm-hmm. He's been here long enough to understand what that brand means.
So if you're also on that note, because there were video clips of him during the commercial shoot, in the middle of the commercial shoot, doing lines for the commercial shoot. And right. During one of the lines, he said was, Eastern Motors will donate to a charity of my choice for every touchdown I score this season. So he will be put in a Commander's uniform this year.
Touchdowns this year. That is what comes from that. Like, you're not doing... This isn't like... who do we have deals with? I don't think we have car deals. This isn't like he's doing like a random... car dealership deal that we've never heard of. He's doing Eastern Motors. Now, I have to be honest. I have never driven past the Eastern Motors building. I don't know where it is, but I see the commercials all the time. And I have great memories of Chris Cooley and Clinton Portis and Santana Moss doing Eastern Motors. And then Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Williams doing Eastern Motors. And now Terry McLaurin doing these commercials. So you're not going to do an Eastern Motors photo shoot if your intention is to then get up there and say, I don't want to be here anymore. That kind of flies in the face. Now, it would have been great if they retired Art Monk's jersey at 11 a.m. and then signed Terry at 1:30, that would have been a Hall of Fame kind of day, at least from a Commander's public relations standpoint. They obviously did not do that. But I'm not particularly worried that Terry is not going to be here in the long term. I think he's going to be a Commander for life. It is just going to be, what is the number? Did Kevin mention numbers on yesterday's show?
No. No, people, I see somebody in the chat saying that numbers were put in writing, and I would really like to see that link, because we did not say any numbers on the show yesterday. The only numbers that were reported were what Ian Rappaport said, which was the 30 number.
Which was the $30 million. We will come back, assess this a little bit more. Jay Gruen is going to join us in about 20 minutes here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. I want your panic meter. Out of 10, I'm at a 4 right now with Terry McLaurin. What are you at? Where do you stand with Terry McLaurin? Are you panicked? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Give me your panic meter when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Jay Gruden will be with us in 15 minutes, get his thoughts on the Terry McLaurin contract extension, or as we currently stand, the lack thereof. We've been talking about the media event that Terry McLaurin held this week, the presser at Eastern Motors. My panic meter is at a 4. It was at a 4 before the press availability. It was at a 4 after the press availability. I thought he made his case. He wants to be paid, but he also wants to be paid here. He wants to be here. He's made a life here. We're just waiting on the actual contract to come about. For me, I want 3 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $96 million. That's 32 a year. You can front load the contract. So by the end of that contract, it's a little bit lesser. It's easier on the cap. And by that time, you will be shelling out a boatload, multiple boatloads of money to then pay Jaden Daniels. But you get Terry in the building, and everything in life is good. My panic meter is at a 4. What is your panic meter at? You can chime in on the chat here on YouTube. A reminder, we are available on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have not. You can see us, the Kevin Sheehan Show, live every day, 10 to 1. We're 10 to 1. You can see Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Jumping on the phones, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, what's your panic meter at right now for Terry?
Thanks for taking my call. It's at a 0, okay? I'm not panicking at all right? This, just like Zach Ertz said, and I called the Junks yesterday and basically said the same thing. This happens every year with teams, okay? There's a holdout. And his position specifically, we're not putting in a new offense. He's not breaking in a new quarterback. He knows everything about this system. I recall when we came off our 91 Super Bowl championship season, our first game was against the Dallas Cowboys, and Michael Irvin held out the entire training camp. He came in, I think, like the Tuesday or Wednesday before that game, and we're thinking, okay, hey, he's going to be rusty. He had a great game and went on to have a great season. From that time on, I was not that concerned about wide receivers or running backs coming in late. So, and the unintended benefit is if he does come in late, then he's in bubble wrap. Okay, he's not risking himself out there on the practice field with a knee injury or anything like that. When Terry signs, he's going to be ready to play. And I think they'll get it done. You very rarely see superstars not get a contract done. And I think Terry needs to get it done because if he sits out the season, which I think he's not going to do.
He will not.
His market value goes down next year, and he's out of $15 million. So it's going to get done. I have no concern whatsoever.
Gary, that's a great call. I will echo that final statement. He is not going to sit out this entire year. And most people saw the Le'Veon Bell scenario and how poorly that played out. You're just not sitting out the entire year. The player does not have any leverage to do that. They lose out on a ton of money. They also lose a year potentially in the prime. And considering that Terry had one of his best seasons last year, sitting out for an entire year, he would then be 31 doing this whole song and dance again, which would be a very tough spot to be in. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, what's going on?
D-Day, what's going on, player?
I'm good, man.
I'm going to say that, too, because the simple fact that it took them this long, it's been a month, without even doing any, having any conversation about the contract. So, but I think to me, they kind of get it, they need to get it done as soon as possible, man. I mean, the guy is, he's a stand-up guy, and he's beloved all around the league, not just here. But I just hope, they find a way to come to a term and, give that man, 32, 30, whatever he's asking. I heard Kevin mention about Amon St. Brown, getting a 4-year, whatever, 130. He's getting a 30 a year. But, to me, I know, age kind of come a factor, but, I mean, Terry, man, he could play another 10 years in the league, man. The dude is, he's built, man. He's built I'm dead serious. I mean, 30 is like, he's in his 20s, man. I mean, the guy, he's been like he said, he's been, 5 years without being injured, and, he's played every practice and every game. So, to me, it's just, I don't like the way they're dragging it. But I just hope they find a way, they come to a term and sign the guy, man. Because he's I love that dude, man. He's a nonsense dude. And I just hope, they make him a burgundy forever, man. Because that's the way I look at I look at Terry, man. Because there's not a lot of players that I look at,
Lou, I appreciate it. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I will push it. He's probably not going to play 10 years. If he has another good 3 to 4 years in him, I think that is fantastic. And at that point, he would have played you know, 12 to 14 years at a high level in the NFL, that's all you can ask for a guy, particularly of where he was drafted. So he's not going to play another 10 years. I do want to point out, because I have heard the conversation, and generally speaking, I do align with this conversation of it's always better to pay guys sooner rather than later. That I agree with almost wholeheartedly. This scenario is slightly different because generally when you make that claim, what you are doing is taking into consideration that a team is going to reset the market. So like take Brock Purdy, for example, with San Francisco. San Francisco wanted to pay him earlier rather than later in the event where someone who was worse than him had a big contract and then they had to adjust their numbers. If you're looking to reset the market, which San Francisco didn't do with Brock Purdy, but they paid him a big time money. When Max Crosby got paid by Las Vegas, the Browns were put under more pressure because they knew they had to pay Myles Garrett a number that would reset the market. That's probably a way better example than Brock Purdy. So we're going to use that one. I don't think that Adam Peters and the financial people in Ashburn ever had planned to reset the market with Terry McLaurin. And in fairness, I don't believe that Terry or his marketing team ever thought that the market was going to be reset with him. He's not going to get Ja'Marr Chase money. He's not going to get Justin Jefferson money. He might not even get CeeDee Lamb money. So it was never a discussion of resetting the market, which then gives the leverage to the team. You have a little bit of time to work with because you know you're not under the pressure of kind of paying attention to what other teams are doing. Now, the Garrett Wilson contract, I think, did make this a little bit more of a discussion because if you look at the seasons that Terry has had and the seasons that Garrett Wilson has had, they're not all that different in terms of the statistical production. Terry had way more touchdowns last year, but Garrett Wilson had more yards, more receptions. So some things do lean more in favor of Garrett Wilson. He's also younger, but they're not all that much different. This is the benefit that you have if you're Adam Peters, and this is a very nice look at the mentality of this Washington front office. We've never seen this before with them. We don't know how they're going to react and respond to something like this. We saw them pay Sam Cosmi last year, who was entering the final year of his rookie deal as a second-round pick, so he did not have a fifth-year option. They didn't pay Sam Cosmi until September. Cosmi was at training camp. He was working out with the team the entire offseason. In September, right before the regular season started, September 4th, I believe, is the day where it was officially reported that they agreed to terms. September 4th is when Sam Cosmi got paid this time last year. I hope they pay Terry before then, but we do have at least that one data point of this organization likes to wait a little bit now that Adam Peters is here. They're not afraid to wait a little bit before they strike a deal. So I'm not all that worried. That's one of the reasons I'm not that worried. They are comfortable waiting, but they're also going to take care of the guys that need to be taken care of. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, what's going on? Bobby, you got me? No, Bobby. We'll come back to him. Let's go to Lap. Lap, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Den? Good show, bro. Good to hear from you, man. You know you're my guy, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm probably at a four. Yeah, I'm probably at a four because I ain't gonna panic too much. But yeah, that press conference kind of scared you a little bit, man, when they did put that in motion. But Terry's a dog, man. He's special. He's talented. You know, like I said the other day on Kevin, and he's not like he's our number one. You know what I'm saying? Good locker room guy. You know, all the intangibles that he brings, like Joe Theismann says. So we got to pay that man, man. Pay that man his money. And hopefully we can get these guys on the field, man, and get that chemistry and build off last season. Because we don't want any distractions. Then we trying to focus and build and go. And I like the Von Miller pickup. That's even though I wanted Jadeveon Clowney, but Von Miller can really help us out a lot, man. And if he can give us, he had six sacks last year, if he can give us any remotely close to that, I'll take it, bro. So we'll see, man. But hopefully it'll get resolved, hopefully next week. And we still got some time before the season. So we'll see.
Yeah, Lav, appreciate it as always. I would love anywhere between like 4.5 and 4.5 plus sacks from Von Miller. But I am not worried about the Terry thing. I stand with a lot of our callers the deal is going to get done. It's a matter of when, not if, and just learning how this front office operates. Generally speaking, I don't think that great organizations factor too much of the intangibles when it comes to long-term extensions. You have to be willing, if you are a great general manager, to make some tough decisions. I think Terry is different because he's still playing at a high level. And you want to keep around the guys, especially if you're going to divvy out big-time money. You want to keep the guys around that are playing at a high level and have the intangible things. If it was just about intangibles, John Allen might still be here because he was a locker room leader, a presence in the locker room. He did a lot of things, at least on the surface, really, really well. They weren't afraid of moving away from him because he was not playing at an all-pro level. Terry is playing at an all-pro level, so I do think that has to factor in at least somewhat in these discussions, but I'm not afraid of allowing Adam Peters to do his job. We wanted, as a fan base, a legitimate general manager that was going to build a winner. I'm going to let him do what he is doing. I've seen a lot of pushback to the way that Adam Peters has handled some things because of the Terry McLaurin contract extension. I am not there. I am not subscribing to the anti-Adam Peters because it's mid-July and Terry has not gotten paid yet. Let the football people do the football. We had 30 years where the football people were not allowed to do the football. So let the football people do the football. Speaking of football guys, Jay Gruden, former coach of the team, now a great analyst. He's going to join us on the other side. We will get his thoughts on this Terry McLaurin contract extension and what could be next for Washington. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin at the Denton Day on Twitter. Jay Gruden next.
All right, welcome to Washington. Von Miller, he announced via his Instagram last night in a caption, DC, what's good? The 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, and 2-time Super Bowl champ with Denver and LA has signed a 1-year deal in Washington to chase another Super Bowl ring. Oh, how weird that sounds. In Washington, they get a much-needed pass rusher. Last night, the Wiz, they fall to the Utah Jazz in the Summer League 86-76. The Wiz kids, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Will Riley, and Trey Johnson did not play due to a coach's decision. A.J. Johnson led the team in points for the second game in a row. He had 25. And MLB All-Star, Ketel Marte, his home was robbed during the All-Star break, more likely during the All-Star game. This is in connection with a slew of athletes having their homes robbed while traveling for games, including Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Items that were stolen include a litany of personal items, as well as jewelry. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. Von Miller signed to the Commanders late last night. We were also hoping and praying that Terry McLaurin will sign an extension with the Commanders sometime between now and training camp starting in about 10 days. Joining us now on the phone, former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden, kind enough to give us a few moments here. Coach, first and foremost, appreciate it. Hope you're doing well. What are your thoughts on the Von Miller signing that happened late last night?
Well, it's that's a good sign. A veteran guy who knows how to rush the passer. You know, he's not going to be much of a run-stopping guy in Coach Quinn's defense, but they do need some juice on third down and 5+. So he'll give them that added spark, so to say, you know. And, a one-year deal, there's no, you're not tied to him for a long time. But, it's good. They had a chance in OTAs to look at some of their young pass rushers, see what they had. And they probably realized that, hey, we need a little spark. We need one more guy that can come in on third down and provide a spark. And whether he makes the team or not is yet to be seen. But he'd be a good addition for those situational type games.
What is the benefit of having a guy like Von Miller for some of the younger players like a Javonte Jean-Baptiste on this roster?
Well, he knows how to rush the passer. A lot of it, he was in his prime was athletically. He's like really gifted. It's hard to teach that athleticism, that speed, that ability to bend, his closing rate. I mean, it's hard to teach that, but he does have great hands, knows how to work against the tackle and his techniques. And, if the tackle oversets, he knows how to use his hands to get underneath them. If he short sets them, he can swipe them and get around them. So a lot of different techniques he can use, but his athletic ability is what made him Von Miller. He doesn't quite have that full athletic ability anymore, but he's still an effective pass rusher, and it can help the younger guys work on some things.
What have you noticed over the last couple of weeks, but specifically the last couple of days here when it comes to the Terry McLaurin contract extension debacle that has seemingly taken place?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough situation for everybody involved, especially Terry and obviously Adam Peters and Coach Quinn stuck right in the middle of it. You know, he probably wants to take Terry McLaurin's side, but he can't really do that. He's got to be on Team Washington football, Washington Commanders right now. So I think, you know, it's a helpless feeling. And we were similar with Trent Williams when, you know, he didn't want to come back. And obviously the Kirk Cousins debacle that we had there. So I kind of understand it. You want the players back in your building because you want to coach the best players, but you also have to, you know, leave it to Adam Peters, the GM, the president, the owner to get it done. And sometimes it doesn't get done. And you got to move on and coach the guys you have.
I'm glad you mentioned the Trent and the Kirk situation that you had to deal with. How does that impact the way that you start your preparation, at least to this point in the season, not knowing whether a guy is going to be there or not?
Well, Kirk was going to be there. That was no. He just we couldn't get into an extension. Trent was different. Trent, you know, I kind of figured Trent wasn't going to be there, so we prepared. We signed Donald Penn and tried to get some young guys ready. You know, having a 37-year-old Donald Penn instead of Trent Williams, a little bit different dynamic. You have to kind of plan your pass protection a little bit different. You got to chip. You got to do all kinds of different things to help out the old man. Donald did a great job. He came in and busted his tail, but he's no Trent. You know, not at that time. He was at one time. He was pretty good, but. That was a tough dynamic, and then obviously losing Jordan Reed to injury. You know, we had those injuries before too, so that's hard. You just gotta try to do the best you can with the players that you have, and you know, that's what Coach Quinn's gonna do. Fortunately, they got a young rookie that can really run. They got Debo in there. They got McCaffrey in his second year, which is good. They got Michael Gallup with some experience, so they have some guys in house. Obviously, Debo that can make some plays, and Zach Ertz is still in house, and you know, and the running game should be good, and obviously. Jaden Daniels is the key. So hopefully Terry will say, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll take a little bit less money and play with this unbelievable quarterback in a situation they have at Washington. Because, you know, sometimes the grass isn't always greener for a few more million dollars somewhere else. So I don't know. I love Terry. I think he's a great player, a great leader, a great person. So you want to reward guys like that. So I'm torn. I want Team Terry for sure. But, you know, it's a tough situation.
I know you have a good relationship with him. Have you spoken with him? Maybe not about the contract stuff, but just about what last season ended up being and finally getting a legit quarterback for him?
No, I haven't spoken to him in a while. I haven't spoken to any players and some of the retired guys I have. But, I just know what type of guy Terry is, and he'll make it work, whatever happens for him and his future. But, he's looking at Garrett Wilson. He's looking at the other guys to get contracts. And Terry has done a lot for this franchise. He really has. He's a fan favorite. He's a team locker room favorite. I don't know what the risk is for paying him some money. This is the type of guy. He's the type of guy you want to pay because you know he's going to be there. He's going to be in shape. He's a great leader, a great person, a great player. He's very unselfish. He'll do everything you want him to do. So if you're going to pay somebody, that's the type of guy you want to pay. I don't know what the confusion is, but maybe they're bracing for the richest contract in the history of football in Jaden Daniels in a year or two. So I don't know.
Jay Gruden with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You had mentioned Debo Samuel, Coach. You obviously are an offensive mind. How would you utilize Debo Samuel with some of the talent that is around this offense?
You know, first of all, we got to get him healthy. That's number one. You know, the things that makes Debo, it's his ability to do some of the things that not many receivers can do, line up in the backfield, the jet sweeps, the short passes that he can run people over, and him in the running game where he's blocking safeties and digging out safeties and cracking defensive ends and linebackers. This is a physical specimen. It is a special player after the catch. So you don't have to throw the ball deep to him. You can throw the ball intermediate and short and screens, and he'll make big plays for you. So he's got to be healthy to do that. He's got to have his shoulder healthy. He's got to be able to run people over because that's who he is. He's not an elusive guy. He's a power player. So hopefully he gets that power and that strength back in his shoulders and his knees and legs, and he can be that type of guy because he's one of my favorite receivers that have played in the last 5-6 years. He is a dynamic player and a physical. I love those big physical guys that can – that's the type of mentality you want on offense, physicality, and he brings that to the table.
How would you balance using him on the outside versus potentially using him in the backfield in ways that San Francisco did in his final few years there?
Well, a lot depends on, you know, Austin Eckler and B-Rob and all that, how they're doing. You might not need to use him in the backfield, but a lot of times you get people in different defensive packages and you line up an empty and then you bring back a receiver into the backfield, teams have their empty automatic coverages and all of a sudden now there's a back and all of a sudden they get a little confused. You hand it to them right on the inside zone or outside zone or whatever it might be, or zone read with Jaden Daniels, and defenses get on their heels and they don't really have to adjust to it. So I wouldn't use them. I would try to give them the ball at least four or five times in the running game and then three or four times in the jet sweeps and all that's in the screens and then, you know, the drop back game. So I would love to see him get 9-10 touches a game somehow, some way.
Jay Gruden with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. What do you think went wrong, at least statistically, in the game for Brian Robinson last year?
I don't know. I think the ability for Jaden to really run too, use his legs, and him throwing the ball as effectively as he does probably took a little bit more. I think Cliff as a play caller is like, you know, why am I going to hand the ball off here when I can throw the ball with this Jaden Daniels cat, you know? Let's put the ball in Jaden's hands a little bit more than B-Rob. You know, but I think they'll utilize B-Rob again more. You know, they got the rookie they drafted in the seventh round. Maybe he'll push him a little bit. Eckler is back, I assume, right?
Yes.
Still there? Yeah. So they got Eckler. So they got three or four guys that can really hurt you or do some different things. B-Rob's more of a between a tackle guy. Eckler's obviously a space player. And then, this other rookie they got is probably a little bit of a combination of both. So they got a good three-headed monster, but I just think the versatility that Jaden brings to the table and the just the things that he can do with the ball in his hands, you want in his hands more often than not.
Coach, there has been a conversation nationally. This is not a local conversation. I think most of the local people realize the difference. But there's been a conversation nationally fearing that Robert and Jaden will have a very similar year too. What are some of the differences between Jaden and Robert as players and quarterbacks?
Well, that's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. Jaden is a special kid. I mean, nothing against Robert, but Jaden is a skilled passer. What he did at LSU throwing the football, he played for 5 years in college. I think Robert played for one. So Jaden's a lot more experienced. He's a lot more fine-tuned as a quarterback. His footwork, his anticipation, his ability to drop balls in small areas and touch and then scramble with an awareness to look down the field and find people as a passer and to hurt you with his legs. He just has a combination of everything that you want in a quarterback. He's the type of quarterback that if you're drawing up a quarterback, this is the type of guy I want. I want a guy that can drop back and throw it on time and accurately. I want a guy that can escape pressure. I want a guy that can do some zone read stuff. I want a great leader. I want a great – he's got every intangible that you want. You know, Robert was not very he was not very adept to the drop back passing game. He played at Baylor, which wasn't really a drop back school. It was a one read type game and run. He's a great player at Baylor, won the Heisman, had a great rookie year. But then when he had an injury, he tried to transition into a true drop-back quarterback. He wasn't quite ready for that. Jaden, on the other hand, was ready for that, playing at LSU with Coach Nussmeier. And his offensive coordinator did a great job in the passing game with, you know, the receivers that he had. They're just totally different. And Jaden's just much more experienced in the fact of playing the quarterback position than Robert was in year two.
How do you think Jaden can get better in year number two?
Just continue to grow with Cliff and learn the system and learn defenses, study fronts, study blitzes, make sure you know where your receivers are at all times and protect yourself. You know, I just want to make sure he continues to work on protecting himself, you know, near the sideline, all that stuff, and which he did a great job of last year. And pick a spot. You know, let's not run between the tackles too often. You know, if we do, let's get down quickly and understand that you are the face of the franchise. You have the keys in your hand. You are running the show. They need you on the field, so protect yourself. But there's really he's going to get better and better, which is very scary for the National Football League.
How much do you think Laremy Tunsil is going to benefit that maturation process for Jaden and allow the team to keep him upright?
Yeah, he's one of the better pass blockers. He's got to stay away from the penalties. You know, he had played 19 or 20 of them last year, and if he can do that, then from passing situations, known passing situations, to have a left tackle that is that skilled in pass protection is very, very important because, you know, Washington's pretty fortunate. They played with the lead a lot of times last year. They never had to really be in known passing situations, 3rd and 8 or down 2 touchdowns with, you know, a quarter to go. But if they are in that situation, now they have a left tackle that can really protect his blind side, which is critical.
What do you think about the actual burgundy coming back, albeit only for 3 games, but it'll be nice to not see that, you know, cranberry-ass red that they gave us the past few years.
It should always be burgundy. We all know that. And hopefully that'll be a mainstay. And maybe even change a name or something like that. That would be awesome as well.
Do you think that eventually those are going to be, those uniforms will be back in like 27 or 26, that they'll be the full-time whites again?
I think with the demand that the fans have on it, I think this is a fan-driven league for sure. You know, I think he's got to see that. And, you know, but who knows? With Jaden, what he's doing and the success that they're having, I think the fans will buy any damn color as long as they're winning. Right. So I don't think the colors really matter. I think the winning divisions, winning the NFC East, winning the NFC Championship, and winning Super Bowl is really all the fans want.
All right, Coach, I'll get you out of here on this. We started with the Terry McLaurin contract. We will end with the Terry McLaurin contract. Do you eventually think that it gets done and he is happy and on the team week one?
I do think it gets done. Like I mentioned before, if you're going to pay a player, you want a guy that's going to be on time. He's going to be in shape. He's going to bust his ass. He's unselfish. He's a great kid, works his ass off, and very, very, very productive. So when you check all those boxes, who else are you going to pay? Who else do you want to pay, man? Pay the man his money. Let's get him in town.
Coach, greatly appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. I know it's hot out here, but hopefully you're playing some good golf.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm playing right now at 12:30, cart path only. It's going to be miserable, but I'm going to fight through it because I'm a tough guy.
Yeah, battling adversity. That's what all great players do, right?
Exactly right.
All right, Coach, appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, fellas. See you.
That is Jay Gruden, who is good enough to join us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Some good stuff there from Jay Gruden. I really wanted to ask him about that comparison with Robert and Jaden. I knew he was going to make a comment about the team. Look, I get it. I know my audience here. But I wanted to ask him about that conversation of Jaden and Robert, because one of the craziest clips that I have seen in between filling in for Kevin Max was when Cam Newton asked that question to Wale.
Sure.
Like, that felt like a weird part of the simulation where a football player is asking a rapper about football. Normally feels like the other way around, but yeah. I love Wale, and Wale knows ball, so I understand it. But it was very odd for Cam Newton to be the one asking about Robert and Jaden. You would think of all people that Cam Newton would be very much on top of the differences. Like, that to me felt like a question that is more served for your get-ups, your first takes.
Sure.
You know, like, that is a very much an ESPN kind of question when they're just trying to look for something to clip on social. Maybe that is what the Cam Newton podcast, 4th and 1, I think it's called, was trying to do. But, like, if you watch the games, which we do here, the difference between Robert and Jaden is substantial when it comes to playing the quarterback position. I know Robert had a great year. I loved Robert for that great year. Loved in the past tense, because that love does not currently exist. But in the past tense, I loved Robert for that great year. But these two guys are completely different players. Completely different. And some of the things that Jaden did so well as a rookie, which led to him being the top five quarterback in ESPN's list that was put together by coaches, scouts, and executives, that is going to lead to him likely being, I would say for sure, top 30, maybe top 25 or top 20 in the NFL's top 100 list, is because of the way that he was able to process and be both a legitimate pocket passer while also having the dual threat ability that only somebody like a Lamar Jackson, or in turn, like Robert had in 2012. But it's just such a rare breed to be able to be as good of a runner as Jaden was while also being as good of a passer. Like, comparing Robert to Jaden feels just completely, completely out of left field at this point. And really, like, you want to talk about, does somebody know ball or not? These are the questions that you ask in DC. RG3 or Jaden? If anybody even hesitates, they don't know ball. You ask them in basketball, Wall or Beal? If they even hesitate, they don't know ball. If someone says Bradley Beal over John Wall, kick them to the curb. Throw them in the Potomac.
Maybe punch them in the face.
Maybe punch them in the face. Robert or Jaden? I like that answer from Jay Gruden. We will continue to discuss the Terry McLaurin contract extension and just what we are learning from Adam Peters. Plus, we got a little bit of Denton's daily news coming in hour number 3. So we will get to that. Take some more of your phone calls at 301-230-0980. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.